Feast of Pentecost, up until that time, up until the Tower of Babel was destroyed, the people were not only of the same language. Talmud says that they communicated with each other even without words. I mean, and they knew each other without words. And the whole world was of one language and one lip. And so nothing that they decided to do would be restrained from them. And this is, you might say this is the second order or the second phase of the curse being manifested. God first cursed the work of an individual's hands, but then as a body, if they could communicate with each other without speaking, then they would be of one heart and one mind, and nothing would be withheld from them for which they thought of to do. And that is the primary mystery of Pentecost, is that, and you know it, you know that not once in your entire life have you ever really communicated with anyone except on brief moments, brief instances where you said, aha, oh, this is my
soulmate.
You finally find your someone you can communicate with. You marry
for
him.
For a second.
You
marry
him.
What's weird is at the same time you know that there's that that state of being where you're all the same.
Right. Well, anyway, so now the human race cannot possibly ever, because primarily of the second level of the curse, you could never ever communicate with anyone. Just slice every once in a while. And it's so rare that when you find out that you can communicate with someone, you think you love them. I'm going to spend the rest of my life with them. Oh. I mean, that's why, the communication is so mysterious that even in sex, how often do you ever climax together? Almost never. And when you do, you think, ah, I got my soulmate.
I'll never forget this.
It's
downhill from here.
Right down the tube. I'll marry her. Where's Rex when we need him? This would happen to Rex.
It happened to him five times.
Five times he got married.
Happened to me twice.
It's one old friend of mine. His name was Fast Eddie Haynes.
Why'd they call him Fast Eddie?
A bookie. Not because of that.
Oh.
He was a bookie. And he was one of these guys that there should have been a movie about. He's a Damon Runyon kind of character. Married 9 times.
Now that beats out my grandfather.
7 times to the same woman.
She was great.
That's what he said. She was the best piece of ass in the world.
There goes that tape. Wait a minute.
But that's what sex is. That's why it's the mystery of communication. And if you don't, it all goes right down the tubes. So let's go to see this mystery. This Genesis 11.
Genesis.
And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. Now, the reason it says both language and speech is because from the way it's described, they don't use exact words, but it means it's one is conscious and one is subconscious. So you can communicate. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime for mortar. There's all kinds of mysterious mysteries about what those words mean. I don't want to get into it tonight. And they said one another, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower. Now, why are they building a tower?
Get closer.
Get above the flood.
That's it.
Above what?
They just lied.
The whole world was just wiped out within all of their memory. All of their all of their whole lives were destroyed. Their lives, I mean, everything was destroyed. And so now they said, we're going to do this. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to build a tower that is high enough so that we can escape, and that is, the goal was to build a tower that was above the clouds. Now the reason was they wanted to build it above the clouds is so they could see the signs of the stars. The stars would guide them and let them know the next time there was going to be a flood. They believed that, you remember the...
So these are all Noah's guys?
Yeah, his Noah's guys?
Well, who else could they be?
Who else were?
I know, but if it was Noah's son that made the star map and had understanding, why wouldn't that pass down to his descendants?
It did.
Four sons.
But No. There are many, many other things than just the. Do you understand? We're like in the shortest grasp of the mystery of the stars. Yeah. The mystery of the stars includes which planets are moving through what sign. What comets are coming? So there's a whole world of knowledge that, you know, they needed, because they need to be above the stars. I mean, above the clouds so they can see it. So again, it's the example of rising above the cloud. That was the purpose of this. Now, how many of you have risen above the cloud today?
I'm not doing it now.
If there's doubt, you do nothing. The doubt is a cloud. When the doubt, a believer never has to make a decision. Never once. But you rise above the cloud. And here you had a whole society rising corporately together above the cloud.
Well, if they were of one mind.
That's what I just said.
One time, I saw probably between 200 and 300 people erect, completely erect, finish out a church in one day. And it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. They looked like bees on this
thing. And it was something that people thought was wonderful.
It was, I've never seen anything like, it was like watching bees. But it was humans. And what they did in one day was amazing.
Well, my point to you is that this is what the world thinks. Don't you understand that that's what you believe God stuff is?
Rising above the cloud?
Yeah, now building a tower.
Building something one day?
Everybody getting together and being of one mind.
Ah, yeah.
Yep. This is true.
Well, I mean, isn't that, yeah. I mean, I've heard you say that, you know, when we're all...
Why were they of one mind? On Pentecost.
Protect themselves.
And one mind in Pentecost because they're scared to death.
Yeah, 500 people on a 747 heading toward the ground would all be one mind.
Yeah. But now that I think about it, the scriptures say don't be of one mind. They say be silent in the temple for 30 minutes. That's not
unconscious. It also says that they were. It says just before the Feast of Pentecost, it says they were of one mind. Anyway, I'll get this.
They're all in cookies.
Oh, they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower. What were the three things Nimrod taught the people of God that were a violation of God?
Building walls, cities.
Congregating in one place.
How to hunt men.
How to hunt men. Building walls, city with a tower.
The culture of Nimrod, geez.
That's
all we got.
And this is what Abraham totally rejected. You got to see this. It changes. The Nimrod, the mindset of Nimrod is what man thinks is God.
Yeah.
What does the name mean, Nimrod?
Nimrod? Stiff rod. No, that's not how it means.
I knew that was coming.
Back this up.
I don't know.
You can't say that.
Huh?
This tape's already shot the hell anyway. You already said
right.
So.
Right.
Harry's thinking about, what's Harry's problem is he's convinced Still, somebody's going to kill me.
More than ever.
And he wants to have, be sure.
That's right.
He can have his retirement program and his tapes.
That's why the masters are off site.
Go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. They didn't think they were going to build it. And that's what your storybook, Bible study, Bible school, Sunday school stories are, that they're going to build a tower that's going to get them up to heaven.
The gates.
That's not right. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad into the face of the whole earth. As long as you have the sense and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. This they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off. They stopped building the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel.
It's like their worst fear came upon them.
Yeah.
Because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth.
Now, that's true. I mean, they did make a name for themselves. It's just not what they had intended.
Please, please, please. Don't you understand? Almost all of your problems in your life, especially your life since you've become a believer, is because you're fighting against God. You're not intended. I mean, this is part of the curse. This is the thing. This is the mystery. Understand? You can get it. It was a little joke, but nobody got it. Huh?
I missed it.
I said, you understand?
He said, understand?
I just got through saying so, that you can't understand each other. And I said, you understand?
We understand. Oh, I understand.
Yeah. What are we doing here tonight, folks?
What are you doing here tonight, folks? You're only doing one thing. Had it not been for the feast of Pentecost being fulfilled, and the only thing that's happening here is the destruction of ideas and images, everything else would be hopeless.
Okay? So the spirit is that restored one speech.
If you walk in the light as he is in the light, then have you fellowship one with another, because you are both in the same mindset. But in order for you both to be in the same mindset, it has to cost both of you your life. You have to both die in order that there can be communication.
Okay, isn't part of the reason to be here just knowing somehow that it isn't, that there is an alternative to being alone?
Yeah, death.
Yeah.
Okay, Isaiah 40. Anybody want to talk about Babel anymore? I don't want to talk about Babel. Okay, the readings in Isaiah are manifest. There are many of them, but one of them is Isaiah 40, Isaiah 42, 1, 42, Isaiah 43, 49, Isaiah 60, and 61. All are Pentecost readings. What?
I love Isaiah 40.
Well, he says nice things about you, too.
I didn't expect that.
He left you, too.
Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked place shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And the voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass. And the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the grass, or the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, and surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Now, you got to understand at this point, what is the Word of God? You really got to understand it.
Christ.
What does that mean?
What does it mean?
Can you ever see the Word of God? Have you ever seen the Word of God, anybody?
No.
All you've seen, the best you can see, is words about the Word. All you can see when you look around, other than here, is parables about the Word. But you can't know the Word of God by your senses. It's a big important thing.
It's kind of like
the Word of the Lord abideth forever. The Word of the Lord doth not fail. The Word of the Lord is sure. The word of the Lord is pure. The word of the Lord is all these things. But it can't be shared with flesh. The glory of it will never be revealed to you. Now this is big. This is if I said this in some certain circles, I mean they'd kill you for it. Because they believe this is the word of the Lord. This isn't the word of the Lord. This is words about the Word. The word of the Lord has a name, and his name is Jesus. That's what the book of Revelation chapter 19 says. But we don't hear that. We believe. We want to make the word of the Lord, we want to make it shared with our flesh. Remember what I told you? Vanity is so rooted in the hearts of man. Those who write about it or speak about it want the glory of having written or spoken it well. Those who hear it, those who read it, want the glory of having read it, and the glory of having comments about it. Brilliant little asides. God will not share his glory with flesh. Anybody understand that? I'm sorry.
No, I was thinking about, you talk about the light, or, you know, well, you can't see God and live, or, and that the light we have here is actually the cloak for the true light. I was thinking about the Word is, you know, we can't hear it, or to hear it is to be deaf. I mean, so the Word is the best we can get, otherwise, you know, I mean, it can't be shared. That's the cloak for the Word, in other words.
O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. The word there should be, the fruit of his work is before him. In other words, it's already guaranteed, as opposed to our work. Let me think, I got this work to do. Put it out here. He is the only one that has the right to have his work before him. Because otherwise, to have your work before you, to have the plan, is to make you as God.
That's huge.
He's the only one that has a right to have sticky tabs.
He doesn't need Steve.
He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and shall lead those that are with young. Now, that's him, all right? Now he contrasts now in Isaiah the rest of the stuff. Think you're bright? Think he got something? Think he got a plan? Who hath measured the waters and float in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? Don't you understand that's what your mind talk is you're trying to teach God? Understand that? You better. With whom took he counsel? Who instructed him? Who taught him the seat or a path of judgment? Taught him knowledge? Showed him the way of understanding? Don't you understand that's the way God hears your mind talk? Behold, the nation. All the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. The small dust is the dust that's done after you've measured everything.
You know what blew my mind? They were talking about explosives. My dad about being going to elevators, you know, and stuff, and they're talking about the clouds of small dust, and that how they make bombs now out of this stuff because it's so. I mean, you know, you talk about the world being on fire. I mean, it's such a volatile thing.
So it's the
atmosphere on fire.
Yeah, it's just, I mean,
that's
what causes rain explosions and elevator explosions.
Yeah, we have, on one of our farms in Minnesota, the silo exploded. Mm-hmm. Behold, he taketh up the sea, or the isles is a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn as an offering, or the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All the nations are before him, he is nothing. Are counted to him as less than nothing and vanity. Well, they're talking about all the nations there except the United States and Israel.
Yeah. That sort of puts Hal Lindsey out of business, doesn't it?
It's everybody out of business.
Well, there was a thing on television where it started out camera, you know, it was like on your skin and it went back and it started going backwards and you showed your body, then your house and then the earth and then it went all the way back behind all the stars and the galaxies and all at one time pulled away. That's what this feels like.
Mm-hmm. To whom will you liken God?
His life.
Or what likeness will you compare unto him? If you could only hear what this is saying. Be content in the state that you're in. So we talked about it for the last two or three mornings in the morning Bible study. Who are you to judge? Think about it. Think about the incredible arrogance of complaining, the incredible pride of murmuring. Because you've got these idols, you've got this is the way it should be. You're worshiping the idols instead of God. Let me understand my simple statement. The reason God is speaking, he wants us to speak comfortably to Jerusalem is because the warfare is over because you lost. You lost the battle, you lost the war. Now it's unconditional surrender.
Or
saying, I thought, oh, it'd be better just really not speak at all. But then, yeah, it would be not speak about, I mean, after a while, if you spoke about yourself all the time, if you didn't have that, then you'd have more time to speak to other people. You took yourself out of
it. Well, he's just wanting us to come to the end of all these other things. He made us like we are so that we could see the vanity of what we are. And we could, so we could see the majesty of Him. The workman melteth a graven image. The goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chain. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image which shall not be moved. Don't you do in your mind? You know, these ideas of the way something should be, and you're sitting up there, you've hired this idiot to carve you a little idol. The idiot is whittling on the creek.
The image that shall not be moved, taking a stand.
Yeah.
It reminds me of like most of the people, all Americans consider to be poor, but they, you know, they have these idols that are just gorgeous, and they give them these offerings of just sumptuous food and, you know, all beautiful flowers. And
we wouldn't do that.
Oh,
I know, but then that's the
picture. You're so impoverished, you're dressed in rags, and yet here's your idol, and you're saying, oh, I must keep the best of what I have. Or like,
have you not known?
Or hire someone to build a better idol than you think you can build, so right, that you can get more life out of their idol than your idol.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when we read this, seeketh a cunning workman. It's like, okay, I'll go to this seminar and learn how it should be.
I'll work with that company or that person.
Take this, I'll read this book and learn how it should be.
Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, and bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And He also shall blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or who shall I be equal? Saith the Lord of the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, and bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, that He is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power only to the faint, or to the weak, is what it should say. And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail, fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
keep silence before me, Wylands. Why? Why does he always talk about islands, especially in Isaiah?
Every once in a while, there's a human being that just sort of pops up out of the water. It's like this one. I'll talk to this one. I'll talk to that one.
The sea, the if you read in Revelation, the people are always like the sea to God, the still water. And anytime there's still water, it's judgment. So, but every time somebody repents or turns totally from self, an island exists in the middle of the sea. And he will save the islands to the uttermost. Keep silence before me, O islands. Let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east and called him to his foot, gave the nations before him and made him rule over kings? He gave them as the dust to his sword and as a driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am he. The isles sought and feared, the ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. The carpenter encouraged the goldsmith. Need it smootheth with a hammer. Him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. He fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the corner men thereof. The word chief there means interesting. It means I've called thee from out from among. The corner men is what it says. And said to thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, thou, and not cast thee away. Now, you got to hear this. Once you reach this point, he's calling, this is talking to you. Thou art my servant, I have chosen you, and not cast you away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee in the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded, and they shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small and make the hills as chaff. Nah, you don't want to do that. Speak to me smooth sayings. Say unto thee nice things.
Pleasant. No confrontation.
Sweet things. Now, God says you're going to chew up mountains and make the hills chaff. It's spit them out. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice only in the Lord, and shall glory only in the Holy One of Israel, is what it says. And when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the shittah tree and the myrtle and the oil tree. That's the olive tree, by the way. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know, and consider, and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it.
Let me ask you a question. On the 11 and 12, where it says, they that strive with thee shall perish, thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Does that mean that someday this is in here is going to be quiet? They're going to shut up.
It says, oh, shut up, you don't mean, you don't have to pay them any attention. You don't feed them anymore, they don't bother you. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, so, or declare us things to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Yea, do good or do evil. Doesn't matter. That we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, you are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon princes, as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. Who hath declared him? Who hath declared from the beginning, that we may know, and before time, that we may say, he is righteous? Yea, there is none that showeth, yea, there is none that declareth, yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them, and I'll give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man even among them, and there was no counselor. And when I asked of them, could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. But behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth, I put my spirit upon him. What it says, upon him and him alone. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles wait for his law. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spreadeth forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Now all this is read while this invasion is about to happen. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles, and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them that shout from the top of the mountains, let them give glory unto the Lord, and declare his praise to the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like men of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I'll make waste mountains and hills and dry up their herbs, and I will make the rivers islands, and I'll dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. They shall be turned back and shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images and that say to the molten images, you are our gods. Hear, you deaf, and look, ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who was blind as he that was perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth. For a spoil, and none saith, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil, and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger, and the strength of battle, and hath set him on fire round about, yet he knew not, and turned him, yet he laid it not to heart. Now, the contrast is what I want you to see in those three readings of 40, 41, and 42. It's all the nations are vanity. There is nothing. There is a drop in the bucket. And he is everything. And he is our life. And especially in 41, 10 through 20. Fear not, for I am with thee. Don't sweat the small stuff. Don't be deceived into taking thought for your life or thought for tomorrow. Every second of every day, abandon yourself to his perfect love. Don't be deceived by the senses. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, be content with the things that you have. Stop the murmuring. See it. Cast it down. The mind talk is just stupid. Amen?
Amen.
That's the setting. Those are the scriptures that are the setting for this invasion that's about to happen on Pentecost.
Just then when you were saying that about don't listen to, don't pay attention to your senses. What flashed into my mind was that reading that we do. I don't remember what it is, but it's the instructions to the people before they were taken to Babylon. And it says, what is it, when you're
you will see these idols that the men carry about on their shoulders. Don't be dismayed by them. Don't pay attention to them.
Do we read for the fast of Tammuz?
Be blind in there.
Just stand it. You're still carrying around these idols on your shoulder? This is the way it should be. No, it shouldn't.
It's not fair.
Can't use the F word. Everybody understand perfectly?
This just brought to remembrance that last week during Morning Bible study, he said that the Passover and Pentecost feasts are saying unto us that not only, yes, you are accepted, which is just real easy to hear it go right over your head, but you said, it means you cannot be rejected. And that really touched me. I mean, to hear it that way versus the other way, I mean, yes, you're accepted. Yeah, well, I can sort of believe that if I want to, but here, you cannot be rejected, really took hold.
There's no way out.
Yeah.
Well, that's where, you know, that's what I was just saying. It's like the ultimate endgame. I mean, that's, and they're absolutely mortified. I mean, there's nothing, there's, and then they hear this enlivening stuff. Yeah. And it's like, deeper still. And it's like, it had to have been that abyss, you know,
Let me actually read Isaiah 60 verse 1 through Isaiah 61 verse 13, but I don't feel like doing it. I feel like saying goodbye. The issue of Pentecost is the issue of empowerment, as I said. Try to conceive, if you can, for a moment, the state of being. Unless there's something out there that you want, you have the right to be in the state of being where you take, where you don't have the capacity any longer to say things should be different than they are. That you've voluntarily given that up as an affront to God by continuing to do that. And then you can look around and see the birds flying, or the trees growing, or the lilies, whatever, and all the things of nature, and see how everything is done without self-consciousness, and you can return to that contentment. That's 10,000 times greater than considering the lilies of the field or the birds of the air. And it should be the rarest thing to you that you leave that contentment, rather than the rarest thing that to you that you have experienced. That's your heritage. You don't need to be robbed anymore by this evil one. You don't need to listen to that counselor who keeps telling you you're naked and you need something else. That's a lie. And I don't really give a shit whether you come and tell me, oh, well, this is what I've been feeling lately. Well, you dumb fuck. Cast it down. Oh, this is what I think about that. I don't care what you think. I don't know why anybody ever comes to talk to me. I always tell them the same thing. But my point is, you have the authority to cast it down by yourself. You don't need to. And you are empowered never to leave the moment of contentment by the Feast of Pentecost. Think about it. Amen?
Amen.